2007 SAP Open Champion, Andy Murray. Question.
Andy, after that, you lost the tiebreaker in the first set, and you got broke on the first game. How are you able to regroup and break him on the next serve and take that second set and eventually the title?
Well, I had to start making more use of the second serve opportunities that I had. You know, in the first set I didn't do that, and obviously played a bad game to get broken at the start of the second set. I lost a bit of concentration and missed a lot of first serves, and you know, I started returning much better. And okay, so 12 aces in the first set, 5 in the second, and 9 in the third. So I started to get a better read on the serve, and you know, got into more of the service games.
Andy, was that the most difficult serve you faced, considering the angles he can create?
Well, I mean, he has the best serve in tennis. There's no question. I mean, guys can serve harder or more accurate, but I mean, you just don't see a serve coming from that angle. And I mean, he can hit spots on the court that guys can't even see. I mean, it's physically not possible for other guys to hit it there. It's such an easy motion. He doesn't look like he's forcing it, and he can consistently hit 140 mile an hour serves for three sets. And I think he served 25 aces and didn't serve a double fault until the tie break. And when you're serving like that, it's so tough to win against him.
Andy, how do you stop yourself from getting so frustrated with a play like that when you have your chance?
You know, you've just got to hang in, and you know, he is probably the best server in the game, but he's not the best returner. So you have to focus on your own service games and try and keep it tight. And once it gets close in sets, anything can happen. Guys can get nervous, maybe throw in the odd double, miss some first serves, and you just have to try and focus on playing your game. And when you get the chance, you know, you have to take it. And I had my chance in the first set, and you know, missed an easy backhand pass. And when you make mistakes like that against him, it's going to cost you.
Did you think he was a little nervous in that third set tiebreak?
I don't know. I mean, I thought I played a pretty good tiebreaker. He maybe missed. I think he missed one bad volley, one all. I came out with a great lob on one of the points to give me a mini break. You know, and then knocked off the volley, but. I mean, he served his first double in the tiebreak, and you know, maybe I don't know. It's best asking him that.
How tough is it to lob against a guy that big?
Well, I mean, you probably have to hit the ball maybe 15 feet over. I mean, if you know, with the length of his arm himself, and obviously the racket, and then a little bit of a jump. You know, you have to hit it really high. And indoors is much, much harder to get the ball up and down. The ball flies a little bit more, so it's nearly impossible.
What's your thing with the Pagliari? You've now won Aptos and two SAPs here. What's the key, the one key thing that you've played you so well?
I don't know. I mean, the court last year suited my game a bit better, and this year is much quicker, but I managed to cope with the conditions. I won two matches, 6 in the third, and obviously beat Plas 6-4 in the third. I won some really tight matches, and I don't think it's anything in particular. I mean, I've just maybe got a little bit more luckier than I have in other tournaments.
Do you feel comfortable playing here? Do you feel a little bit at home?
I mean, I feel comfortable playing in most places now. I get good support. I got great support in Australia this year, and this, you know, at this tournament I got really good support last year and also this year. And you know, the crowd's very fair here. It's one of the best that I've played in front of. They don't call out during points and in between points, and you know, they clap for both players, and they really understand tennis. So you know, I do enjoy playing in front of this crowd.
Andy, can you actually read his serve, or is it just a matter of saying, well, he's got some tendencies and I'm going to guess either way?
Yeah, I mean, there's little things that you can kind of pick up on as the match goes on, but I mean, it's a couple of, you know, centimeters, inches on either the throw up or the way that the racket's coming when he's making contact with the ball, and you got a split second to see that. And if you don't, you know, you're going to get aced. And I wasn't seeing it at the start, but I managed to find more of a rhythm at the end.
Andy,
Is there anything you can do beforehand to prepare for playing a guy like that?
Well, I've never played anybody like him before, and there's nobody else that's as big as him on the tour or anywhere near, so you can't really, like, for his serve, you can't, I mean, you can prepare for his ground strokes, but definitely not his serve.
If Ivo's the best server, who's second best in the ATP?
There's a few guys that serve well. Obviously Roddick's up there, Lubicic serves really well. You know, those two guys, Philippoussis, when he's playing well, you know, he's got a great serve too, but...
Roger?
No, I mean, Roddick, she's got a very good serve, but... And I think it's the rest of his game that kind of helps him out. He has, no question, a very good serve, but it's not like he's blowing people off the court with it. He has a lot of accuracy, serves around 125 miles an hour, and doesn't double fault that often. You know, he's very calm on the big points, but I mean, his serve, if I was to create my best tennis player, I wouldn't have his serve as my number one.
Andy, how much of this title run was about survival this week versus quality?
Well, I think to win a tournament, you have to, you know, it's not normally that straightforward. You normally need to fight in a few matches, and you know, in a court like this, I played some huge servers in Karlovic, Roddick, and plus serves big as well. You know, so it was about, you know, mental strength and maybe having to come back from situations that I might not have been in on other courts, but it wasn't, it was just survival. I think you have to play a great tournament to win, and regardless of how well you're hitting the ball or not, if you don't win an ATP tournament hitting the ball, you know, that badly, you have to strike the ball well in the important moments, and I did that this week.
When you got that lob in, did you think it was going to be pretty tough for him to come back there in the tie break?
Well, I mean the problem with playing him is, you know, one mini break is not really that much against some guys. You know, for example, if I was playing Kim Taek Lee, you know, even if I lose a point on my serve, I feel like I'm going to have chances on his serve, so there's a lot of pressure on you once you get ahead against him in the tie break to kind of finish it off, because if you do let him back in, it's, I mean, he's got one, the best serve out there, and you can't give him, you know, second chances, so you know, that was really important.
Your work with Mark Grabo, is it just a matter of the physical work and strength and flexibility, or is there also a mental aspect?
No mental aspect, just strength, flexibility.
Were you helped this week by coming out and working with Brad and kind of having some time to spend here in the Bay Area beforehand?
I mean, I guess it's probably easier when you know, didn't have to. I got over my jet lag earlier than some of the guys coming from Davis Cup, but you know, once you get to the quarterfinal stage, I think that's pretty much worn off. And you know, but I didn't hit the ball unbelievably well in my second, third match. So you know, I mean, it maybe helped a little bit, but I wouldn't say a huge amount.
Andy, do you feel like you're one of the better movers on the tour as far as the anticipation of footwork on the court?
Yeah, I mean, I am one of the best movers on the court, and that's probably the best part of my game is, you know, I move well, and when I get to the ball, I can kind of maneuver shots when I'm on the run, and you know, I pass well. So you know, there's obviously guys that, you know, like Nadal's and Blake's, who, you know, in a straight line sprint would probably beat me, but my anticipation is very good, so I kind of make up for, you know, my, not lack of speed, but I kind of make up for not being as quick as them by my anticipation and how early I see the ball.
Andy, how confident are you at this point, having defended this title on a much quicker court, and does that change your expectation for the rest of the year?
How confident?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I was pretty confident coming in here. I played really well in Doha in Australia. You know, it's great to defend the title and to win my second career title here. You know, but I hope, like last year after I won here, I went on a bad run and have to really focus and not let that happen again.
And you
had a choice of being number one in the world, winning at the All England Club or leaving Britain for the Davis Cup Championship? Which would you choose?
If I could win Wimbledon or Davis Cup, Wimbledon.
Or be number one, three choices.
Probably winning Wimbledon, I think. Guys are, you know, I think, you know, Wimbledon's obviously got the biggest history behind it as a tournament, and I think guys are kind of judged on whether they win slams and how long they're at the top, rather than, you know, some guys, Rios, great player, but, you know, he would have been up there with one of the best of the last, you know, 7-8 years if he'd had won a slam or a couple of slams, but, you know, he got to number one. But yeah, I mean, I think if you win Wimbledon, that's probably a bigger deal than maybe being number one. But you know, I'd take any of the three.
Andy, what's the key moving ahead the next couple of months to make sure what happened last year doesn't happen this year?
Well, I think I have more experience this year. I look forward to the clay court season. You know, I didn't play so well on it last year, and actually, I said I didn't play well. I had some close matches against some very good players that I lost against. And last year I lost in three sets in Indian Wells, three sets in Miami, three sets in Monte Carlo, three sets in Barcelona. I lost a lot of really close matches, and it's important for me to sort of turn that around. And this year I've won all the three set matches that I've played, so I think that's the key, is sticking in the tough matches.
Andy, considering all the close matches you've won here last year and this year, do you consider composure one of your greatest strengths also?
Well, I think the good thing about my game is in pressure situations, my ground strokes are solid, and I try not to overplay on the big points. So yeah, I mean, some guys like Ivo, for example, play high-risk tennis, and then a lot of times, you know, it'll work, a lot of times it won't work, but my game, I kind of let my opponent either win or lose the match, and I think when guys are nervous, they tend to make more mistakes, so I think that helps.
What advice did Brad give you going into this match?
Well, the number one thing was to focus on my service games. You know, put a high percentage of first serves in. You know, there's not that many things you can say going into a match like this. He also said to try and, you know, focus on winning the second serve points, try and put a bit of pressure on him when he does miss first serves, which, you know, I did in the second and third set, but there wasn't too many things you can speak about before a match like this.
Were you expecting him to come in as much as he was?
Yeah, I mean, that's his game. He plays serve volley every first and second serve, and, you know, he's so tough to pass at the net that when he does slice and come in, you know, that's where he gets a lot of his points when he's returning. Yeah, so I was definitely expecting that. That's what he does.
Anything else? Thanks, everyone. Andy, thank you. Congratulations.